Back here on KATE 1450, we're joined over the phone, as we are every Monday, by Mike Grimm, who is the voice of the Minnesota Gophers. And, of course, the Gophers get into the home stretch of the Big Ten schedule here in the next couple of weeks. And, Mike, I got to start by asking about the shooting again. And I hate asking about it every single time because it really is just something, as we talked about last week, that either making shots or missing them. But in that game against Indiana, you have a team where Indiana didn't really out-rebound Minnesota by a large margin. Turnovers weren't a big difference. Minnesota even took seven more shots than Indiana did, but you just shoot 34% and then you can't win. And then what makes it even more frustrating maybe is that you see a team come out yesterday and just shoot the lights out against a lowly Northwestern squad. But still, another Big Ten team in which it seems like another week where Minnesota's able to turn it on and then for some reason it gets switched right back off again.
Yeah, it's been one of those years. They've had a stretch of games, unfortunately for them, where they have not shot well. I mean, that's clear. And when those games happen, they don't win. And so they had that with Indiana. They hit their first two against the Hoosiers, and I thought, okay, good. They're up 23-13, a 10-point lead, and then they were two for their next 23 from three. That's like, I don't know, 9% or something. And that's not going to win games. And Indiana, I thought when the Gophers were up 23-13, Indiana was just inviting the Gophers to blow them out. I thought the Hoosiers looked kind of disinterested. And that's been a case with Indiana, too, this year. They've been kind of up and down and have played poorly on the road. And unfortunately, the Gophers just went ice cold. And Indiana kind of hung around, and then they got energized to start the second half. And the Gophers never really gave a run, and that was disappointing, and it was especially disappointing coming off of the disappointment of the Iowa game the previous Sunday. So things got really sour there for a minute, and then yesterday, Spencer Tollickson was, you know, before the game, he was telling me, look, I think they're going to shoot the lights out tonight, meaning the Gophers. They were 11 for 50 in the two games from three-point range, Iowa and Indiana at home. And as weird as this sounds, Patino talked about this a little bit as well. Sometimes you feel that pressure at home. You know it's an important game, and then you miss a few. And this is not a fault of the crowd or the fans because they're frustrated as well. But all of a sudden, you kind of get this cloud over the building. Like, oh, are they going to make one? And every miss, there's ah. Oh. And pretty soon, you just kind of feel like your new stuff, right? And so Patino thought there might be a benefit of getting away from that just for a game. They're thrilled now to be back at home, especially after they won yesterday. So I think all of those factors played into it. They got away from it a little. The pressure was maybe a little less. They were, let's face it, they weren't playing in the most hostile environment, so the get-well game came at a good time. And they knocked down their open threes yesterday as opposed to what they had been doing the previous. I mean, that's the thing about it. It was like a 5-6-7 game stretch where they just didn't shoot the three particularly well. And yesterday they did, and as a consequence, it was a no contest. They just killed them.
And then Indiana gets a big win over the weekend as well by knocking off Penn State at home. I want to ask because it looks like there's going to be Indiana, Purdue, and then Minnesota kind of fighting for that bubble on the NCAA tournament. You've talked a lot about the net rankings. I've always thought that while, of course, those are important, when it comes down to Sunday, the committee's still people, and they're going to look and see, do we want to put in an 11th or 12th Big Ten team over, say, a 5th or 6th ACC team or something along those lines? Do you think it's important for Minnesota to end up being on the top of that trio of teams, Indiana, Purdue, and then the Gophers?
Well, I think that you have to make a case if you're Minnesota. I think, I'll be honest, I don't think the committee is going to look at it and say, oh my goodness, we have 10 Big Ten teams set to go, we better take one out. I think they, at the end of the day, Minnesota is going to have to play and put up the numbers well enough to be in. And they have I think we're probably a week away from the conversation. Let's see what they do against Maryland. Let's see what they do at Wisconsin in the next two. And even if they split those two, quite honestly, they're probably still in the mix. If they get swept, then they're going to really have a lot of work to do in Indianapolis, and they're not on the bubble. They're going to have to play their way into the tournament probably. So it's probably too early to ask because right now they're still out. They're not even on the bubble right now. They're a non-bubble team. Purdue's probably a non-bubble team. As weird as it is, Indiana has the worst net ranking by far of those three, but they have more wins. There's some benefit to playing a crappy schedule or in the non-conference where you rack up wins, and They did not play one non-conference game on the road, Indiana. Meanwhile, Minnesota had two neutral site games, a game at Utah, a game at Butler, and they lost all of them. Well, they won the one game in Tulsa, but they lost most of them. So their record, you know, I wonder if this coaching – I mean, I'm in favor of playing a hard schedule. I think that helped this team, you know, and I think it was fun that the fans got to see games against good teams. Indiana, you know, sleptwalked through a non-conference schedule that they were good. So Indiana's sitting there with, what, 18 wins? Minnesota's sitting there at 13. That's a difference, even though they're – I mean, I think the net ranking 16 spots apart. That said, Indiana also, because of the number of wins, they've beaten Michigan State, they beat Penn State, as you mentioned. I mean, they have some quality wins. I'm trying to think, did they get Butler or Notre Dame or somebody as well in that in-state game? So I don't have their schedule in front of me, but they're probably the strongest of those three, despite playing the weakest non-conference schedule and having the worst net ranking, simply because of their win total. Purdue and Minnesota are not on the bubble at this point because they play tougher schedules. But at the end of the day, you do have to get some wins. You have to have enough wins. And I think that, to answer your question, this is a long answer, the Gophers at this point just need to start getting wins. I don't think the committee is going to care about conference affiliation, particularly this year. I don't think the bubble's all that strong. I don't think they'll if the Gophers play their way into, you know, if they get somehow miraculously get to 18 wins, I don't think the committee is going to care that it's 10 teams in the Big Ten. They'll put Minnesota in.
Just to fill in the blank, Indiana did get a win over Notre Dame. I just pulled the schedule up right now. I didn't know. It was back in December, the 62-60 W for them on the 21st of that year. But moving forward, biggest win available left on the schedule comes up in a couple of days as the Gophers host Maryland. You mentioned the team's glad to be back home. Give us a roadmap to getting a win over a Terrapins team who's going to be coming in ready to go, given that they're coming off a loss. And the Terps also have a really good defense as well. How does Minnesota make sure that this isn't another one of those games where fans are kind of shaking their heads at the shooting?
It's remarkable. I mean, this is a huge game. There's no doubt. So the crowd's got to be in it from the start. Hopefully they get some shots to fall early. You know, it's interesting. You look at that Maryland schedule, and there's been at least twice this year where if they've lost one, they've lost a second right away. So I didn't think it was a terrible thing that Maryland lost that game to Ohio State. First of all, it strengthens Minnesota's strength of schedule because they have that sweep against the Buckeyes, right? And it means Ohio State added a nice win. And in fact, after yesterday, Minnesota went up 11 spots in the net ranking because, one, they were terribly efficient, and that's an efficiency ranking. Two, they got a road win. That matters. And I think, three, Indiana got a win. That helped, I think, overall. And then Ohio State getting that win, that's a team that Minnesota swept. So those are two really good wins. So all that factored in. But this Maryland team has had a propensity. They don't lose very often, but it looks like, at least on the schedule, I think they've done it at least twice where they've lost once, they've lost a second game. So I don't really want to face a team that's coming off of a loss that's good, right? I mean, if they're no good, that's fine, go play them. But a good team, Maryland's good, talented, maybe the most talented roster in the Big Ten, coming off a loss, you know, the old axiom, oh, they're going to be ready to go, they'll be fired up. And that probably is going to be the case. But this team is also shown, and I think the Big Ten's shown, you lose one, you can lose two pretty quick. So I think it's all fine. And this Maryland team hasn't been blowing people out. They have been a team that's won a lot of close games because they're old. And I know fans get sick and tired of hearing, oh, we're young and they're old and whatever. It matters, though. When you got Anthony Collin, who's fourth year and just late in games, has just basically taken over and won a bunch of close games, that matters. And so they're going to try to neutralize him. Gabe Kalscher will likely get that assignment. And if they can try to neutralize him, you know, it's a winnable game. I mean, this isn't like some insurmountable. I bet the Gophers are a 1 or 2 point underdog. That'll be it at home. So, I mean, this is a highly winnable game against a team that you're going to get a quad one opportunity. And if they go out and win it, and they find themselves a game over 500 coming out of Wednesday night, then the discussion we had earlier about, hey, where do they stack and what's the committee, it becomes a little more serious discussion at that point. Because right now, I think it's too early. It's just, you know, you got to see what happens this week with Maryland and Wisconsin. But I think it's a winnable game Wednesday. I mean, absolutely a winnable game against Maryland.
Yeah, to go back and just support your points, it was in December, Maryland lost two in a row against Penn State and Seton Hall, but those are both really good ranked teams. And then in January, a loss to Iowa, and then 4 days later, lost to Wisconsin. And then to further go what you said about close wins, before that loss yesterday, five straight wins for Maryland before that had come by just single digits. So it's supposedly going to be a close one. Mike.
Yeah, and that includes a close, tight game with Northwestern, who Minnesota beat by 26 yesterday. So, and again, I know there's not a transitive property. One game does not directly equate to the other. And you could look on the flip side and say, well, the Gophers lost by 11 to Indiana and blah, blah, blah. So I get it. But I think that there has to be a belief that, this Gopher team has to believe that, Maryland's good. There's no doubt. Like I said, maybe the most talented team in the league roster-wise. But I also think this team has to go into that game saying, look, this team isn't blowing everybody out. It's a road game. We have a road game for them. We have an opportunity here. Hit some shots, and you can win this game and put yourself right back in the discussion. So in a weird way, even though things haven't gone great lately, until yesterday when they got shots to fall, this is kind of an exciting night on Wednesday night for the Gophers.
Mike, you mentioned 18 wins before when we were talking about the committee, but do you think there's a situation where we get to Selection Sunday and Minnesota can feel safe going into that selection show that they're going to be in? Or is it pretty much the Gophers can hope to be on the better side of the bubble?
Yeah, I think 18, they can feel pretty safe, because here's the fact of the matter. If they get to 18, that means they will have, because from here on out, outside of the Nebraska game, everything's going to be a nice win. Mm-hmm. So that means you're going to, you're 13. What are you at, 12? No, 13 now, right?
13, yeah, and 13, 13, yeah.
So that's going to be five more wins, four of which will almost certainly be quad one wins if you get five wins, because from here on out, you got two road games, you got whatever you got in Indianapolis as a neutral site. So those are all going to be quad one wins, unless you catch a Wednesday night game against Nebraska Northwestern, which is possible. I think right now they're not in that spot, but it's certainly possible they could be. So when you stack up that kind of win, frankly, 17 and 15 puts them on the bubble, as weird as that sounds. That's going to be one of those rare occurrences where the committee will have to have a decision to make and say, can we really put a 17 and 15 team that, like you said, is 10th in the Big Ten? So I think 17 puts them on the bubble. 18, I think, puts them in, at a minimum, getting them into Dayton. And that's a tall task. I'm not just trying to say, oh, well, just go get 18 wins. They're sitting at 13 and 12, and they've got a wicked schedule. So, I would guess, I don't know, but I would guess the Ken Pomeroys of the world who do this predictive formula stuff would suggest that 18 wins is unlikely. So my only point is, if you're an optimist and you want to hang your hat on something, 17 or 18 wins at least will make Selection Sunday something that Gopher fans will want to watch, because their team has an opportunity. If it goes by chalk with these predictive measures, my hunch is that it's more like a predictive measure that they'd be 15 or 16 wins at that point, and that's probably not enough.
Mike, before we let you go, we haven't talked a ton of hockey with you here this year, but I do want to ask Dan Ayers with the Carolina Hurricanes over the weekend. That's an insane story. Is there ever been anything like that up in Minnesota with a guy who's a Zamboni driver coming out and being that emergency backup?
No, not in this case, like that they've won the game and actually had some important saves and that kind of stuff. That there is always a backup goalie,
right?
Local. In fact, the weird thing about the whole story to me that no one is playing up is, it was Toronto and the Canes, right, in Toronto. So if the Toronto goalie had gotten hurt and the backup had gotten hurt, this guy would have suited up for Toronto, whatever team needs him. So it isn't like the Hurricanes flew him in and, hey, this is just a local guy that if one of the teams needs a goalie. So he could have been playing for the other team that night, it was the Hurricanes who needed a goalie, and so this guy from Toronto does it. I want to say for years here in Minneapolis, St. Paul, it was maybe the goaltending coach at Hamlin or something. It was like a small college guy, and I think he did get into a game or two, but certainly never quite like what happened the other night in Toronto with this guy. And you get into that situation where every market where there's an NHL game, there's this guy sits in the stands, or I don't know where he sits, and maybe even in some cases they might be home and they might have to call him and say, hey, get over here because we need you. I don't know all the details. I did see that he makes $100, he gets to keep the jersey, and that now Carolina's flying him in to be honored. I think in their home game tonight, he's going to do whatever their version of drop the puck or whatever it is down in Carolina. So that's kind of cool. But what a story. Amazing. You think about that 42-year-old guy and, has a highlight of a life for sure.
They should hire him as a Zamboni driver full-time from now on. But anywho, that's got to be – there's nothing else quite like that in sports, is there? I'm thinking maybe there's emergency kickers perhaps with NFL teams, but those guys play once a week. Usually if someone gets injured, you have somebody, the punter can kick or whatever, but
yeah,
it doesn't happen like that. Yeah, I don't think there's anything else like it in any other sport.
No, absolutely not, 100%. Like even if your kicker would get hurt in a game, you're just not calling the local – you know, kicking coach that helps the, you know, St. Cloud State kicker. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got to be on the roster. This is a case where, you know, this guy's not on a roster. He's just kind of hanging out. And like I said, he's available for either team if either team needs it. Because obviously you need a goalie and someone who's a little bit trained. Obviously if you're a kicker and in the NFL, say, let's he gets hurt, you're bringing in guys for tryouts and you sign a guy. Or as you said, if you're out of luck, sometimes a team has had that happen. A kicker gets hurt in a game, and your punter's kicking. Or there's been times where I think a backup quarterback can kick or punt or whatever. But there's nothing quite like this in pro sports. I mean, that, you know, the NBA doesn't have it. You know, point guard goes down, you just go to the bench, and who's ever left goes. But goalie is such a specialized spot. You know, it's not like you're going to, hey, Zach Parise, put on the goalie gear because we don't have a goalie. You got to have somebody that knows what they're doing in net, and so. They have this policy that allows for it, and I think it's pretty cool. And obviously, it was it makes for, like, I think like once every decade you get a story kind of like this with somebody like that.
Right. Well, Mike, we appreciate you as always calling in to talk Gophers with us and a little bit of hockey there at the end too. Minnesota has a huge game coming up this week, as we already talked about, against the Maryland Terrapins. We'll see where they are in the AP rankings when they come out later today, but. As of last week, number 7 team in the country, and of course a huge win to boost that tournament resume. Mike, thanks for calling in. We'll talk to you again next week.
You got it, Nate. I always enjoy it. Thank you.